A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper here, and 10 years ago this month, the college sports landscape changed forever with conference realignment, and the state of Utah was one of the most impacted states in regards to realignment. Now, realignment's nothing new in college sports back in 2010, but never did we see a summer of movement as we did 10 years ago. Joining me now on the show to revisit that historic time in college athletics is former Big 12 Commissioner Dan Beebe. And Dan, thanks for carving out some time for me. How are you doing during these unprecedented times that we're living in today?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm fortunate. I'm living up here in Washington State in a rural area, so the pandemic isn't the pandemic of the virus isn't affecting us much. I'm really troubled by the pandemic of racism, but hopeful that white America is finally going to wake up and help our minority brothers and sisters become equal, because it hasn't happened in 400 years. So that's something I'm really focused on, and something that's part of kind of my business that I do in helping college universities around the country.
And you're working right now currently with the Dan Beebe Group. I assume that's a group you started. What does that entail?
Well, I do two things. We've kind of branched off. We do human relations risk management, which deals with any kind of possible misconduct in the workplace or the educational environment related to discrimination, harassment, any kind of sexual misconduct, racism, any of that stuff, where we try to help make sure that universities and other clients do everything they can to protect everyone in their organization. And then since I've returned here 3 years ago in Washington State, I've gotten back into my investigative world and do it on the same thing. So the response side of when there's been allegations of serious misconduct, some school districts here, and I've done this for the U.S. Olympics as well, have had me investigate the allegations of misconduct.
Well, that's great stuff, and very important things that you work on. And you've been an individual that's worked on a lot of important matters over the years and been heavily involved in athletics, and including your time with the Big 12 Conference, where you were the commissioner from 2007 to 2011. I believe you worked with the conference for around 8 years. And is it just kind of crazy to think of that time in college realignment 10 years ago has already passed? I mean, does it feel real that it's already been a decade ago?
Yeah, sometimes it feels like it was yesterday, and sometimes it feels like it was 100 years ago, just depending on the perspective.
It really, it's pretty wild to think how fast it's gone, like you said, but it also seems like another lifetime ago. And I kind of just wanted to revisit some of that, you know, with you a little bit, Dan, because, here in Utah, conference realignment's always been a big story for all the different programs in the state, because Utah went to the Pac-12 or Pac-10 then, and BYU declared independence. And at the center of it, it felt like it was the Big 12 Conference. And I remember Nebraska left for the Big 10, Colorado went west to the Pac-10, and then there was talks like Texas and Oklahoma and others going to the Pac-10. What do you remember from that possibility of Texas and Oklahoma possibly going to the Pac-10? How close was that really?
You know, I don't know from their end exactly how close. I mean, I treated it very seriously, of course, you had not just Texas and Oklahoma. There were six institutions that the Pac-10 made offers to join the league, it was Texas A&M was a part of it, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Texas, and it would have decimated our conference, and We worked hard to try to keep those schools together. And that's part of the reason why, you know, I think Nebraska left because they felt in part like if this happens, we're going to be stuck with a situation where we're not going to be in a league that has much, in terms of the market value. And, in Colorado, you know, I think Colorado, I've always thought that, large public universities should be connected to the region of the country where they get their students and where their alumni go live and work. And so for Colorado, the West kind of made sense because they've always gotten a lot of students from California in particular. And then also, but also from the other states, Washington, Oregon, and also a lot of their alums went west to work as much as anywhere. So others didn't. Missouri didn't make sense. You know, their alumni base besides Kansas City and St. Louis was primarily in Texas, and so they disconnected from that pretty significantly. But you know, I think it was the Big 12. You harken back to the '90s, early '90s, and there were you can find records of when the Pac-10 made. Tried to get Texas and Colorado only to come to the Pac-10 at the time, and A&M was being pursued by the SEC, and Missouri wanted to go to the Big Ten, and so before the conference was even formed, a lot of that was in the water, and it didn't take much to reenact that.
And when Texas and Oklahoma showed their commitment to stay, it kept the Big 12 with 10 solid members, and at that time, if I'm not mistaken, there was no kind of exception from the NCAA to have a conference championship game with at least 12 schools, I believe. So naturally, expansion was, I think, a hot topic for the Big 12. And I remember out here in Utah, BYU was always a program thrown around as maybe a candidate. And I'm curious, Dan, you know, how much consideration, if much at all, was put into BYU being considered for the Big 12 conference?
Well, we did look at going with 12, and the more we looked at it, the more there wasn't really that other institutions that would have come into the league that would have made a difference in terms of more revenue, which, you know, a lot of that was about keeping or even increasing the revenue. BYU is one of those schools that might have been able to move move the needle a little bit in that regard. But I think there were impediments in terms of the distance. Of course, now they got West Virginia after I left the conference, so that's kind of an interesting scenario. But I just had a high degree of respect for Tom Holmoe. I think he's an outstanding person, human being, and a very good athletics director. And so there were some conversations we had, but they kind of discontinued when we ended up with 10 and felt like it was a pretty good scenario. You know, the football coaches never did like a championship game. So that, you know, having 10 kind of helped in that regard until, you know, the college football playoff came along and the committee, you know, in my estimation made a mistake and didn't take TCU that year. And so that's what provided them the interest in having a 10, you know, having a championship now, in the Big 12. But at the time we thought that, you know, playing 9 conference games and football was great. Playing a double round robin with 18 games and basketball was great. And we thought that 10 was a pretty good number, and we didn't see anybody else out there that was going to move the needle in terms of bringing in more revenue than they would take away. BYU might have been that exception, but we didn't go too far down that road. You know, there is an impediment with, you know, the what we would do with tournament play and everything with BYU's policy not to play on Sundays, which I respect, but it wouldn't have fit in very well with the rest of our, with what we do otherwise.
Yeah, that no Sunday play has always been something I thought would be kind of maybe a hurdle with maybe sports outside of football. Was that something that was kind of when you look at logistics and scheduling back then, that was something maybe of a big kind of hurdle that other schools in the conference didn't like?
I wouldn't say, I don't think we went that far to really vet all of that. It was certainly something that was, discussed as an impediment. And then there were also positives. BYU's national appeal was certainly a positive. The history and success of its football program and other programs as well were positives. But, you know, at the end of the day, there just weren't two institutions at that time that we thought, again, were going to increase the value of the conference overall.
And it's been a wild 10 years in college sports, Dan. I mean, so many things have changed. You know, Power Five, Group of Five. You mentioned the college football playoff, cost of attendance, the autonomy that the conferences are given. You know, where do you maybe see? I mean, you're someone that's involved with college athletics. You probably keep an eye on things. Do you think the past 10 years, all the changes in the college sports landscape have been a positive for college football and college sports in general?
Well, no, I don't. I think, and this will sound like the commissioner that got ran over by the realignment bus, but, I think realignment, and I think other decisions made more for money sake than the sake of the student athletes, their families, the coaches and so forth are ones that, have left college athletics, in a position where they don't have as high a moral ground to decline to do certain things that they need to do for the sake of the student athletes. And so, you know, I think those are things that I don't think, frankly, athletics people had as much to do with as presidents, board members, politicians, donors, all of those folks wanted to do. So I do think that college athletics is kind of, has not been, when you look at conference realignment, especially, and you look at some of the things that are done for the sake of television, that aren't as good for fans. And it's not television's fault. They are what they are. But
sure,
when conferences, we'll play games at whatever days and times for the sake of money, you know, and it puts the fans and the players and the families and all that stuff in a more challenging position. I think that, those have not been for the benefit of what college sports should be. And when I was commissioner, I would say, you know, we're not like the pros. We don't have the entertainment and commercial value of sports as our primary or even sole interest. We have to balance that with the interest of student athletes and higher education.
Yeah. Now, I talk with Dan Beebe for a few more moments here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. And I just wanted to circle back real quick with BYU on your kind of final thoughts with them. Like, they went independent, and it's been kind of what you're just touching on with a good experience for maybe the student athletes, the fans. Independence for BYU has been kind of a mixed bag. I don't know how close you followed BYU or kind of observed them from afar, but do you think there'd ever be a day where BYU could get into maybe a power conference, or do you think BYU with their circumstances probably always maybe continues on the path of independence from your bird's eye view?
Yeah, I don't know. Independence is so tough to get access to. Probably what BYU would like is, you know, college football playoff or major bowl opportunities. But I admire that they stick to their values and stick to what they really are about as an overall institution. So I think that's something that the rest of college athletics could take a note of, as how BYU is going to not compromise its principles for the sake of more, you know, notoriety in athletics, perhaps, or more revenue, you know, any of those kind of things. But I don't see where they might fit in carrying those principles to some other, you know, to another conference at this point. So doesn't mean things won't change, but there's a lot to admire about BYU's mission and its devotion to making sure it follows the principles that that they are dedicated to.
Well, Dan, I thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for all the work that you're doing with your group and the work you're doing. I loved hearing that cause, and hopefully the everything in the world today we can look back at what's happening right now in the world, and everything will be a positive down the road. And thank you for your work, and thanks for joining me today. And hopefully maybe we can cross paths again somehow, some way. And thank you again, Dan.
You bet, Mitch.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.